Rachel Rose Oginski is one of the most optimistic and upbeat people I've had the privilege of working with as a talent manager, and here she shares kernels of gold for aspiring creatives, whether you're an actor learning about what a casting director is looking for in their process, or whether you attempt to be a casting director. She's worked with other top casting directors, learning and being mentored by them. She's also learned what she doesn't want to do in her own work. She likes working in an environment where she's trusted and empowered to make decisions and use that Rolodex in her head, which is really at peak condition. She can pull up a name and an actor and their credits right out of that Rolodex in her brain.
Thank you, Michelle. It's so good to talk to you.
Welcome to Passion to Power with your host, Michelle Zeitlin. She's a creative producer who quote-unquote wears many hats. She's also a talent and literary manager and founded the company Morzap Productions and Management. She develops people and projects across all media. Her guests encompass the gamut, from artists to authors, actors to activists. Please welcome Michelle Zeitlin, Passion to Power.
I started off in the industry about 15 years ago, working in a talent agency. Then I got into casting about just over 10 years ago. And I've been doing that ever since, worked in some prime time. And then I just got into daytime. So I'm now on The Bold and Beautiful. And I say just, but I've only been doing it for about 5.5 years. If you talk to anybody in daytime, we're the Bold and Beautiful is the youngest soap on the air. And it is 30, it just turned 35.
Wow.
So I still consider it a very young, you know, even for me to be on there. But yeah, it's been around the block for quite a while now. It's an interesting world because instead of doing, you know, 10, 15, 22 episodes a year, we do 250. So it's nonstop of shows, of casting, of, you know, prepping for the next week, what's happening. We do it a little different. Some soap operas, most of the ones that are an hour, they shoot one episode a day. We shoot about two episodes a day when we do shoot. So we do have time for dark weeks and some hiatuses and breaks like that in between. But yeah, there's always, obviously, we have a little bit of different lingo in the soap world. Our series regulars are called contract roles. Our guest stars are called day players and principals. And well, I guess too, yeah, the under fives would also be considered day players, but they're our co-stars. And then what's also really different is that I do cast the extras as well. Well, we shoot the 5 days a week, the Monday through Friday. We usually only shoot Tuesday through Friday. So we do about 8 episodes a week, but depending on what's happening, or what our storyline is, we will shoot 5 days a week. So about 10 episodes. And then even sometimes in our dark weeks, if there's a specific stunt that needs to happen or a specific location they need to go to, they'll shoot during that week as well.
I'm so glad you used the word stunt because it means something so different in the world of daytime. Can you explain what you mean by stunt casting?
Well, stunt casting and stunts are two different things that a lot of people aren't aware of. Stunts themselves are obviously where you have a stunt double, somebody who is, you know, they're in a fight, there's something happening physically, and we don't want our actors either to get injured or to be worried about different issues with them. And so we hire people that are their stunt doubles that do the actual, craziness that'll happen. And then we will, edit it in together. Now stunt work or stunt casting is a different thing, as in we will be looking for names for our show. Whether it's, you know, somebody who's big on social media, somebody who's been big in the soap world, somebody who's just big in the world right now. And we need a name because there's a new doctor or there's a new lawyer or there's a new something coming up and we need to have somebody else in that world. And it's a good time for us to collaborate with other people and see where they are and if they have a moment, if they have a break. One thing a lot of people I don't think realize is that a lot of stars started off in soaps. And so a lot of the stars will come back just kind of as a little bit of homage to pay for, you know, getting that little bit of a springboard that they got. So
I know that Ava Longoria and Demi Moore started on daytime. Who else comes to mind?
Gina Rodriguez was on our show. I think Brad Pitt started off in soaps.
Wow.
George Clooney did. I think it's Ryan Hartley who's on This Is Us. He started off in soaps. So there's definitely a bigger list than we know. I know Betty White actually did a little bit on our show as well. We've had Fabio on our show. There's a whole big mix of people that we've had. So
one thing I really like about daytime is it's an opportunity for actors to get in on the ground floor, because you have the opportunity to maybe have five lines or less and get your SAG card, or, you know, just to be around the multi-camera experience, which is very different than the way a lot of nighttime shows are being cast right now in primetime with single cameras.
Right, right. I mean, I always describe our show as kind of being like live theater on steroids. We have our stage set up is the 3/4 wall, and we have a 3-camera shoot, and we do our, you know, the scenes and whatnot. We rehearse once, we shoot twice, and then we move on. It's a very quick world, but you're right there. You're with all the actors. The directors are either on set or they're in the booth, which is only about, you know, 30 feet away. They're paying attention. You know, everybody's there in that moment. And even our producers are. We sit at home and we all get the feed to watch. So we can say like, hey, that, you know, extra's chewing gum, or this extra's doing, you know, like to kind of like help with other things that people may not be seeing because they're focused on different parts of the scene. So we all kind of get a chance to view things and see how they do it.
So given that you are primarily working from home now, how often are you on the set proper at CBS?
So talking to the pandemic, prior to the pandemic, I worked at CBS TV City, and we are on the 3rd floor, and I could go down to the 1st floor, which is where we shoot, anytime I wanted to go on set, to see how, you know, what's going on. I have a cat who's going to say hi in a second.
That little noise you heard is this adorable cat that just to join us in our podcast.
My big boy. I used to be able to go down to set anytime I wanted to see the actors, see the extras, see what was going on. Now, because of all the COVID rules and stipulations we have, I'm not allowed on set as of yet, but I still get a chance to watch everything that does happen on set. So I get to see all the actors and, you know, basically we have a feed that goes on, so that goes into our booth, which our producers and directors and everybody sees, and that's also sent to us so that we can kind of pay attention and see what's going on. So it's interesting. It's not the same because I don't get to go in and say hi to everybody all the time. But it's great that I get to be at home and do these things as well and still pay attention and see what's going on my show. I'm not totally out of the loop and totally out of touch with everything.
You also have the unique experience of having kind of a full-time job in casting. Right? Because so many casting directors, we recently did a workshop with Zora DeHorder, they're going from gig to gig, whether it's an indie film or a series that we hope gets picked up, but maybe it's limited series. So you have a gig that's long term.
Exactly. That's when everybody in casting, when you hear about, you know, somebody working on a TV show, you have your set time that you work on it. Usually what, you know, our season starts in about July for prime time to get everything ready for the September premieres. And then you shoot until April, maybe, if you're lucky. And then you have off a few months. And then you wait to see if your show comes back. You don't have really, you know, much of a say or much of a choice, you know, as to what you're doing. Or you just jump to the next thing and you keep going. And yeah, like you say, it's just, it, you know, everybody used to say to me, oh, isn't it nice having time off? And I was like, no, the moment that show ends, I got to look for my next paycheck. You know, and that is the one nice thing about soaps, is that because it does go all year long, there isn't that panic of, oh no, I have to look for my next job. It's just the panic of, oh no, we have new characters that are coming up in a few weeks and we got to get, you know. And even for us, you know, some soaps, what's different too about soaps is that they have, most TV shows have what you call a Bible for each season. So when each season starts, you get into the, you know, recurrings, the major storyline, what's going to be happening for the entire season. Soap operas, we honestly don't know, except for a few weeks, maybe a month or two in advance. But other than that, we don't really know what's happening. And so every now and then we'll get like a, hey, by the way, can we find out if, you know, so-and-so is available, or we're thinking of somebody's kid coming back from boarding school or college or something. And so we got to work really hard to, you know, find somebody who matches a family and fits in and see where the storyline's going from there and stuff like that.
You bring up a story point that I really wanted to discuss, matching families. Given that we're in a diverse culture right now of inclusion and being more open-minded, and, you know, in the old days of the Procter & Gamble, and a lot of these soaps got their name because they were sponsored by those P&Gs or big brands, you would see white mom, white dad, white kid, black mom, black dad, black kid. Do you find that your show is open to more diversity and mixed families?
I believe it is. It's not as prevalent, just depending on what the storylines are. You know, on our show, our contract players, we usually have anywhere from 15 to 20 people that are on there. And at some point, they're all a little bit related. It's a little creepy. But you just don't know which way it's going to go or how it's going to flow in that world. And there are some people that, yeah, we do have mixed race couples. We actually have a transgender couple. We have, they've been open to various ages and things like that, and just keeping things, you know, mindfully open, let's put it that way. And we kind of look to see what works. What I do love about our show is that because we're only a few weeks out, when the head writer gets an idea and he's looking for a, you know, a different storyline, what I love about my boss too, is that we will sit there and we kind of do a grand scope of things. You know, if this is, if are we playing this as a half brother, a half sister, a half cousin, where are we pulling in this world and what can we play with in this world? And I love that our producers are very open and receiving on this end of being diverse and being consciously aware. There is, in every show, especially with our show, because it's been around for a million years, we always joke that there's, you know, a ton of cooks in the kitchen, but ultimately it is, you know, we have the one final voice of reason on our show, who is our head writer, head executive producer, Brad Bell, since he's the visionary and sees where the story is going and whatnot. But, you know, it's the same in any casting process. We do, you know, have lots of people that we pre-read or self-tape and then go from there when we narrow it down, and we bring in our producers and our head writer. And then also what's interesting about our show is that we are our own studio. So once it's through our office, the network comes in. And network does play a big part of that as well. You know, that is, CBS is a big part of his decisions as well as, you know, where he needs to go, the characters and whatnot. But Brad has the vision of where he's taking it. So it's interesting to see him work, how he, you know, a lot of times we bring in people and the story is not written yet. The character isn't written yet. If anybody comes in to read for me, I can guarantee you, you're gonna get dummy pages. There are none of the characters are real, or names are changed, or the scenarios change. But also too, we are just trying to find different aspects of a character. We don't know exactly where they're going. And then as we, you know, get in the final audition process, he has conversations with each of the actors, and he likes to pick out things from each person's life to pull into the storyline. It's a really fun process to watch. So, and then once he makes a decision, usually from there is when they start writing the character. It has happened before where he has started writing the character and we, you know, needed to get somebody in there. But then he starts, as he gets to know that actor, he formulates more of where the character is going.
That's very cool. I had a client who read for YNR. She went in, she had dummy pages. She started her process of performing and she stopped herself and she goes, I'm going to start again. And she finished the scene. We didn't hear anything. And in about 3 or 4 days, she was offered 78 episodes. Now, they didn't call it a contract. They called it a recurring, which allowed her to do other things if her schedule allowed, but she was so busy. And then she had pages and pages and pages of copy to learn every single day, fully memorized. So I think it's a great way for actors to test those mental skills.
Yeah, we always say that soaps is kind of the precursor, the front line of being on set, learning your lines, getting it together. Because even our shows, I say we shoot 2 episodes a day. Each one of our episodes is anywhere from 40 to 50 pages. So each day we're shooting 80 to 100 pages a day. And you might be in 2 episodes this week, or you might be in 8.
Wow.
So it's interesting, you know, seeing everybody who has to work with it, where it's not just casting, and it's not just everybody on set. It's the scheduler who is, you know, going through everything and making sure an actor's not, you know, doing 30 pages all at once and has a little bit of a break and has a moment so they can catch their breath. Right. And it's, you know, our publicity to break up the time a little bit as well. And then we have, you know, a lunch break or just the different things that we have. So it's not so strenuous on any one person or too crazy, but you know, in any given time we have 4 or 5 storylines going on.
And there's an intimacy in soaps. You know, I mean, a lot of the primetime shows, there's an action aspect and they could be doing location-based shooting, but typically we see a lot of the same setups because you've got the home, you've got the school, you've got the boss's job, right? Yep. And we get to know these particular sets, like you said. So there's an intimacy between 2 and 3 characters, usually max, in any given scene.
Right, there really is. Like I said, it kind of leans to the theater world in that place, that all you have is words and that moment. And so trying to convey what you're feeling within that moment that people can see without, you know, I think one of my favorite misconceptions of soaps is everybody says, oh, it's overly dramatic. And actuality, it's not necessarily overly dramatic. It's we get to the dramatic point quicker than most people. So you get to watch an actor come to a realization and an arc within, you know, 2 or 3 pages or a few minutes on screen. Whereas in reality, you know, sometimes that takes a few days, a week, a month, you know, hopefully somebody can see that change and they deal with it. Or, you know, it's not an ongoing struggle to get them to a major point that needs to help push the storyline across.
So I want to ask about the casting process. You've given such great story points and advice and kind of an overview for the actors in the world from the casting standpoint. So how different is it for you? And do you kind of check in with the Mark Teshners of the world and the other people who are casting daytime? Do you know each other? Do you have discussions? Do you share information? Or is it really kind of working more, autonomously?
You know, we do tend to reach out to the different soap worlds. A lot of times, honestly, it's the same thing as in primetime, where if there's somebody we're looking at hiring that's been previously on another show, you know, it's we want to know about their work ethic, or if, you know, how sane they are on set, or, you know, what other, you know, crazy things that are coming up, or, you know, did they, you know, they only did so many episodes, you know, was it because of an issue on set? Was it because of just the storyline? You know, those things, which again, in primetime, that happens all the time. You are reaching out to find out, you know, And then also too about money points. That's always a big deal in every world in TV is, you know, would they work for scale? Did they work for a little more than scale? How were they about, you know, X, Y, and Z? And most people, you know, it's one of those conversations that we have kind of under the radar of, yeah, that person, you know, they're good, or I wouldn't really want to go there if I were you, you know, just those little conversations that you have. But like Young and the Restless is right down the hall from us. They're our sister show. They were actually started by the Bells years before The Bold and Beautiful was. All of the soaps right now are 1-hour shows, except for The Bold and Beautiful. It's the only half hour soap opera that's now on the air. And so, which is also why we can do the two shows in one day, or shoot two shows in one day, and things like that. But so we have a connection with all the other soaps around us.
And I've noticed that many of the casting directors stay for many, many years. I mean, some of them are literally like 25 years of casting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's Christy Dooley. She started off in the office of The Bold and Beautiful the day it started, and said she, you know, the one of the directors or producers, I believe, went around and asked everybody what they wanted to do. And she said, I want to do casting. And so within 9 months, she was in the casting department and started up being casting director. So it's a crazy
world. And how fun to be a part of this family with CBS and the Bells.
How do I plan to be a part of it?
No, how did you become?
You know, it was interesting. I had been kind of putting it out there, you know, however you want to say it, to the universe, to God, like I just needed something stable. I don't know about you guys, but I'm from the Midwest. I like my stable work, you know, knowing I have a check coming in, and knowing I can, you know, have insurance and those fun things. And I was working a few different jobs here and there. And a friend of mine who was in casting, and one thing I've learned just in my own life is when you need something to happen, you got to say it, and say it out loud to other people. Let other people be aware. You've got to share. You got to be vulnerable. And I hate that word, but I have to embrace it. I got to be vulnerable and say, hey guys, I love casting, but I really need something a little bit more stable. And I reached out just to a few friends and just, you know, made it a conversation. And one day a friend of mine who was in casting messaged me, and she said, hey, so there's this show, it's a soap opera. They're looking for somebody. And I was like, you know, and I'll be honest, when you're in prime time, everybody has a little bit of a chagrin to daytime of it's not stellar. And I was like, you know, what do I have to lose? Let me check it out. Let me get to see what it is. Cause I honestly, all I knew what it was is that it, you know, it after the news and before, you know, Judge Judy, that's about all I got. So I needed to know really what it was. And I went on a few interviews and I just fell in love. The place, you know, it's always that warning sign of you work at a place that they treat you like family. Be careful what their family's like, but it's a wonderful family. And just getting to know everybody and seeing how things are done, and knowing that I got to be right there on set to help out and to, you know, do what I needed to. I can run down, to set, help do what I need to. I connect with the our accounting department, who pays everybody all the time. I connect with our supervising producers about, you know, what they like on set, what they not like on set, our writers, and just different people. Just it's such a fun place to be that I'm that close. I have that much access to everybody around me. So a friend of mine reached out. She said, there's this job. It works Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. And I'm like, that's a lie. That is not true in this industry. And so I went and checked it out, and they, sure enough, that's what it was. And for some reason, they liked me too. And I just count that as one of my blessings. And I jumped on board when they said I could, and it's been history ever since.
So talk to me about the writer's room, because if they're doing 80 pages, I want to know how many people are putting those words down on the page. How many writers are on each episode?
You know, I can't tell you for sure how many writers we have, because our writers have always been not central to Los Angeles. There are several of them that live in different parts of the country. And so what we normally get is we'll get an outline from head writer, and the outline then is assigned to one of our writers. The writers will create the script, and then from there, the head writer and I believe at least two other executive writers will also sit down, and they'll edit it out for our production, for what we can use on set. And so, you know, it's a pretty big team that we have, but you know, they've all been doing it for a little bit of a while, so they all kind of know, you know, all the little beats and all the little tempos that you take in soaps. And and what's great though too is that, from what I understand, all of our people get the outlines, so they can kind of see where the next one's going, and see where they're supposed to be, you know, jumping on board for the next episode, stuff like that.
So if someone wants to become a casting director, Rachel,
yes,
what advice would you give them? How to train, how to network, what are the tools? I mean, it's not like going to medical school and then you become a doctor. So what's your advice to someone who would like to try this out?
You know, I had never heard of there being any courses about casting or anything like that. I did go to a film school back in the Midwest, and they only told you could be a director or producer. There was nothing else in between. And then I moved out to LA, and there's 4,000 jobs in this industry that nobody tells you about. I did find out recently that I believe it's Chapman University is doing a course on casting director studies. So that's always interesting. I think the biggest thing is obviously being in Los Angeles, being in an area where you have access to meeting with people, getting to know people. The biggest thing I found was being on the Casting Society of America on their website. They had a place that you could sign up to if places were looking for interns or casting assistants, places that you could just start off and connect with. I know a lot of people want experienced people. And, you know, secondly, I'd say word of mouth. I started off working at a talent agency, and I learned about, you know, the movies and the features and the TV shows and the soaps and all the other stuff that was coming out that way. And I dealt with my small group of actors that I had there. And then switching over, a friend of mine told me, it's like, oh, you're just working on the other side of the phone now. So now I'm working with the project as my main focus, the characters and the producers in that world. But now it's all the actors that I get to see and I get to play with, you know, and put where I need to be. I remember being a kid and watching TV and seeing, you know, at the beginning of a TV show, I mean, what does guest star mean? What does that mean? And this is before Google, y'all. I'm a little bit up there. So I couldn't just like go and look it up and search and see what that meant. And I just remember having those questions, and I would ask my, you know, different TV professors about it. Oh yeah, no, that's about billing and whatnot, and not really getting the answers, but, you know, still having that curiosity as to why and who. And then, you know, learning about IMDb, and I'd see somebody on a TV show and be like, I know that person from something. So you have to go and look, and you have to find out, you know, what character they're playing on that TV show. And then you click on them and it gives you the list of everything else that they've done, and go, oh, they worked on this show that I saw, this movie years and years ago, and I recognize them from there. So just knowing that I had that ability to connect people after I'd seen them in different places or different facets of, you know, things they've worked on. You know, I also attribute my organization as part of my Virgo-ness that I can sit there and kind of, you know, I call them file cabinets in my brain, where somebody will ask me something and I'll be like, give me a second. And I can kind of go through, and I can go through my files, and I can find where I saw that person before, or what episode it was, or where we need, you know, what I'm connecting them to. Always wanting to see or try new things. Just being open to new TV shows, new whatever, so that I'm keeping afresh of what's happening out there in the world. And also too, listening when, one of the things that happens when we do put out information for TV shows is we get a lot of pitches, get a lot of agents and managers pushing their clients for different roles. And it's us being able to look at it and say, yes, we want to see this person, or that's not exactly where we're going, but I'm going to keep this in mind for the future. So it's having that working together with others and being able to listen to others who have an opinion as well. They, you know, again, like I said, everything we put out is kind of dummy. So for them to say, oh, I have the perfect person for you, I'm like, sure. You know, you don't know exactly where we're going, but okay. And yet they may have somebody though who's really interesting, and I can say, hey guys, I know this isn't what we're going for, but here's somebody. And they may say, okay, not this time, but that is somebody we'll keep in mind for the future. That's something we'll keep track of. Yeah, and I guess my other part would be just memory in general of knowing things. There's certain, believe me, there's certain things. I come home, I put my keys down, I am lost for like 5 hours. I have no idea where I put my keys. And yet, if you ask me about, you know, something that happened 10 years ago or something that happened on the TV show ER back in the day, I can tell you, because that's where my memory goes. But it's having those, that memory of, hey, yeah, I was supposed to let somebody know this, or so-and-so emailed me about this, and I want to make sure that they're in the loop, and I need to do this, and I need to touch base here, and I need to keep that going. So lots of notes, you know, it's having a good memory, but also making a list, making lots of notes, and keeping up with it, you know. The biggest thing I would say too is over communication. It's something that I think a lot of people, you know, I feel like sometimes we get annoyed with, like, oh, why are you telling me this again? But yet sometimes there's someone in that conversation that is only hearing it for the first time.
If you had to give yourself advice, your 18 to 22 year old self. Hi, Rachel. I'm going to have a conversation with you. Coming back and in my own Back to the Future, mm-hmm. past. What would you say?
I would say life doesn't have to be what everybody's told you it's supposed to be. You get to make up life yourself. You don't have to get married. You don't have to have a spouse to be happy. You don't, and you know, where I'm at right now, you don't necessarily have to have kids to be happy. But you have to connect with yourself and find out what does make you happy and be willing to take that risk. You know, you might step on the toes of those people who are important to you, but what's going to hurt worse is you not becoming your true potential.
I think that's the wrap up right there. That was brilliant and sage advice. No matter what you do in this world, whether you're in the entertainment field or not.
Yep.
So I have one more question. So there are a lot of people who have taken some pivots and some triple pirouettes in the last, you know, going on, what, 3 years now of COVID-19 and its various pirouettes itself. What advice would you give for those in the 42 to, let's say, 60-year-old analytic, which is actually a big share of my listenership, those people that are looking to make shifts and are kind of like daunted? Do you have any advice for them?
I would say be smart about it, do your research, take your time, and don't hesitate. There's too many things in my life that I would say I've seen people go, oh yeah, I should have. You know, they have those regrets of not stepping into what they think they have or what they could have. And even for me, I don't know what, you know, I love casting. I don't know that it's my end all be all. And so I've got to be willing to take that risk. There's nothing worse to me than being comfortable because then you become apathetic. And when you become apathetic, nothing good comes from it. Not your life, nothing thrives. You know, let's stop surviving, guys. Let's stop just doing what we should just to get by each day. Let's start living. Let's start thriving.
So thanks very much for listening to this episode, and please share all the episodes with your friends and colleagues. We appreciate your ratings and comments on Apple Podcasts and on social media. If you'd like more information about our programs and our special people and projects, please access www.morezap.com, More Zap Productions for Talent and Literary. And if you'd like to book a special one-on-one coaching or a group clinic or workshop, please access passion-power.com, and you can fill out our form there and make a request. Thanks again.